We're holding on Samach Beis, Amud Beis, four lines from the bottom. We learned in the Mishnah that if the Shech, the Korban Pesach, having in mind only people who can't eat it, only Arelim, only Tmeim, etc., then the Korban is possible. On the other hand, if you had in mind some people who could eat it, or who can eat a kazayis of it, and some who can't, then it's kosher. For example, you had in mind mulim as well as arelim, or tmeim as well as tahurim, etc.
This question comes up, he goes and asks the rabbis later, and he says, I had this in mind, or he himself...
He himself would have to know, I guess, at the time, yeah. So Tanya, we learn in a braisa, acherim, which usually means Rav Meir, holds, it depends what order he said them. It's not necessarily like we said in the Mishnah that if it's mulim va'arelim, then automatically it's kosher because he had mulim in mind as well. If he put the mulim before the arelim, so he said, I'm shechting it on behalf of the mulim and the arelim in that order, then it would be kosher. Arelim, the mulim, possible. But if he said, I'm shechting it for the arelim and the mulim, then it would be possible. So the question is, ma'ishna mulim la'arelim b'kosher? So why are we saying if he puts, according to Acherim, if he's putting the mulim first, we're saying it's fine, the kosher, then the korban is kosher. And the reason is, dekola orla ba'inin v'leka, because you would need, in order for it to be possible, he'd have to have that, it would have to be that he had exclusively arelim in mind, and this time you don't have it. So we said the other day that you have the posit kol orol lo yechaboy. So kol orol, we said, means, so first we assume that kol orol means, or means exclusively arelim, that the word kol means all, and therefore you don't have it over here. Then we had Rav Ashi pointing out that maybe kol oral could mean any arelim at all, but the question is whether the oral is shayach to the Korban Pesach, whether he has any connection with it, because after all, as an oral, he's not able to eat from it. And we said Rabba and Rav Chista could be arguing about that. But anyway, fine. So if we said, so we say then that if he has mulim and arelim in mind, then it's not kol oral. So then in that case, arelim l'mulinami, kol oral b'in and v'leka, nu. And if he puts the arelim first, also he's not having arelim exclusively in mind because he did mention mulim as well. So why should it be possible according to acherim? Does that mean lema kasavri acherim? Does that mean therefore that acherim hold eino l'shchita ela basoif? You could look at it like this. When you have the shchita of a, in general, you could talk about with shchita, whether we're talking about cholin, kodshim, it's all the same thing. You can look at it like this. We know that in order for the shchita to be kosher, you have to cut through the majority of, you have to cut through 50% plus a little bit of both of the pipes, both the windpipe and the esophagus. Up until that point, it's not a kosher shchita. Now, there's two ways of looking at it then. Do we say that the whole cutting through the neck until you reach that point is all part of the shchita process, and therefore, for purposes of our of what we're discussing over here, that would mean that machshavas, that pasul kodshim, would be in effect throughout that whole thing, or would we say that only the last stroke of the knife that gets you beyond 50% of the two pipes, only that is considered the actual shchita, and everything else up until that point is only like a prerequisite for that? So should we say then that Acherim hold that ein l'shchita ela l'soif, that only the final stroke of the knife that gets you beyond 50% is what's considered the actual shchita, and v'chidur Rava, and therefore it would mean that Acherim hold like Rava's understanding, de omer Rava adayin himachloikas, namely you have like this. So there's a long Rashi over here, a very long Rashi that takes up, as you can see here, half the Amud, where Rashi summarizes for us a sugya in Zvachim that's relevant to this. Now we have like this. We talked about a couple of times already. We have the question about if a person says two different statements or two different parts of a statement where the second one sort of contradicts the first one, what do we do with it? Do we say tfois loshen rishon, which was what Rav Meir said, that you look only at the first thing he said and not at the second? Or do we say that af bigmar dvarav adam nitpas, that we do also pay attention to what he said second was Rav Yosi? Now, the case that we had that machloikas about, which we discussed the other day, was suppose a person says, for example, so let's say a person has in front of him one animal, which is an oila, another one, which is a shlomim, and then he takes a third animal and he says, I want this animal to be tmuras oila, tmuras shlomim. I want it to be an exchange for the oila, an exchange for the shlomim. So do both of them take effect or not? So there you have the mayor saying that it's only Tmuras Oila, because he said, the first thing he said is Tmuras Oila. So therefore we ignore the second thing that he said. We ignore the second thing, Tmuras Shalomim. As opposed to, according to Rabbi Yossi, we said, after Gmar Dvarav Adam Nitpas, we said we do have to also pay attention to what he said second. So we mentioned that the other day in connection with the cases where the person shechts the Korban Pesach Lishmoy and Shaloi Lishmoy, where we said if it's all within one avoda, then Rabbi Yossi would still say it's possible, and Rabbi Meir might well say it's kosher in that case. So in the case of Tmuras Oila, Tmuras Shlomim, Rabbi Meir would say it's only a Tmuras Oila. We ignore the fact that he said Tmuras Shlomim, because once he said it's Tmuras Oila, means it becomes an Oila, it has the Kedusha of an Oila. Now he's not able to transfer that and make it instead of Shlomim. Whereas Rabbi Yossi says, no, what we said, we pay attention to both halves of what he said. Therefore, the animal is half Oila, half Shlomim. The din would actually be, in that case, you leave the animal until to graze, till it develops a moment, then you sell it and use half the money for an Oila and half for a Shlomim. Now, the question the Gemara asks in Zvachim is, what happens if instead of saying Tmuras Oila, Tmuras Shlomim, what if he said it should be half Oila and half Shlomim? Now, when he says Tmuras Oila, Tmuras Shlomim, you could argue that Rabbi Meir says, you know why you say Tfois Loshen Rishon, why you ignore the second thing that he said and focus only on the first, is because first he said Tmuras Oila, meaning 100% of it should be Tmuras Oila, and then it's too late for him already to change that and say that it should be Tmuras Shlomim. But in this case, where he says to begin with, it should be half Oila, half Shlomim, maybe we would say that shows to begin with, all along he meant to say that, and therefore, so half of it is going to be Oila, half of it is going to be Shlomim. So therefore, so you would say, so in that case, then it would work that way. On the other hand, Abaya says, as a matter of fact, yeah, Rabbi Meir would agree in that case that the animal is half Oila, half Shlomim. On the other hand, Rava says that no. The other way you could look at it is, now if a person were to say, for example, that the head of this Oila, that the head of this animal is an Oila, then the whole thing becomes an Oila, because an animal can't live without a head. So when you say the head, then in effect you mean the whole animal. So another way of looking at it is, if he says half Oila, half Shlomim, then what happens? As soon as he says half Oila, automatically it goes on the whole thing, because an animal can't live with half its body missing. So therefore, automatically, it still amounts to the same thing, that the whole thing becomes an Oila, and then it's too late for it to say that it's a Shlomim. So Rava would say, Rav Meir and Rav Yossi would still have the same machlokes. Now, in the Gemara there, so now Rava points out to Abaya, you have a case like this in Zvachim. So we talked about the other day about Machsheves Zman, where a person has a thought during the Shchita or during any of the four avoidas of the Korban that he's going to eat the Korban, or he's going to eat a Kezias of the Korban beyond the time that you're allowed to eat it, the next day in the case of a Chatos, for example, 2 days later in the case of a Shlomim, etc., or that he's going to burn it on the Mizbeach beyond the time. So then we know it becomes Pigul. On the other hand, if he were to have a machshava to eat from this korban outside the Bis Mikdash, or outside Yerushalayim, as the case may be, then it wouldn't be pigul, it would only be posel. So now you have like this. You have a Mishnah there in Zvachim that talks about a case where a person shechts the korban, having in mind that he's going to eat a kezias outside the Bis Mikdash and a kezias of it beyond the time, l'machar, the next day. So now, the Chachamim say it doesn't matter what order he said them in order for the Korban to be pigul, it has to be that he had a thought that exclusively makes it pigul and no other thought that makes it possible. On the other hand, Rabbi Yehuda disagrees. Rabbi Yehuda follows Rabbi Meir's logic, Tfois Loshen Rishon. So he says, it depends which machshava came first. If he first had the machshavas zman, then the korban is pigul, and having a machshavas mokum, having a thought to eat it outside the Bes Mikdash or outside Yerushalayim, is not going to change that. It's already going to be pigul. And it doesn't even matter, he says, whether we're talking about within one avoda or across two avodas. On the other hand, if he first said mokum, that he's going to eat it outside the place, and then he said zman, that he's going to eat it outside the time, then it's only posel, not pigul. Now, so that's according to Rabbi Yehuda. Again, the Chachamim are going to disagree and say that either way, it doesn't matter. Whichever way, whichever order he said it in, it's only pigul if it's exclusively pigul, not if it's pigul and something else. Now, in Rabbi Yehuda's opinion, who's saying that it depends on the order he said it, we're saying that's even if it's within one avoida. So he said within, during the shechita itself, he says that I'm gonna eat a kezayis of it tomorrow, which would make it pigul. And then further on during the shechita, he thinks I'm going to be eating a kezayis of it outside the Bais Mikdash, which would make it only posel. Then Rabbi Yehuda says that makes it pigul because you go according to the first lashon. So Rava asks on Abaya then, so you see from that Rabbi Yehuda should hold that. So you see from that even when he says half and half, because after all, when it comes to a korban, you have many kazaisim, you can easily have a kazayis that's eaten outside the time and a kazayis that's eaten outside the place, and still Rabbi Yehuda says the order matters. That goes to show, therefore, that if we follow the opinion of Rabbi Meir, first Lashon Rishon, then you go according to the first Lashon, then it doesn't even matter whether we're talking about two separate statements or whether we're talking about two statements on the same thing. As, for example, again, where he says a kezayis beyond the time and a kezayis beyond the outside the place, the same thing. If he says half ola, half shlomim, the same rule should apply. It should mean that once he said half ola, then that takes effect. Now it affects the whole korban. And now when he says half shlomim, then it's too late to do that. That's Rava's question to Abaya. So Abaya answers that you're basing yourself on the idea that only that last stroke of the knife that gets you beyond 50% of the two pipes, only that is considered the shechita, and therefore you're assuming that there's not really time during that one stroke to have two different machshavas. Actually, Abaya says no. We could easily say yeshna shechita mitchila v'ad soif, that during the entire process from when he puts the knife to the neck of the animal until he gets beyond 50% of the two pipes, all of that would be considered the act of shechita. So therefore, so you could easily have that he's had in mind doing one simen chutz l'zmanoi, during the second simen he had chutz l'mekoymoi. Now, why would that make it pigul? Even though you need both pipes, Reb Meir could hold, as we're going to say at the end of the Gemara over here, that you're able to make pigul during part of an avoider, during part of the matir. In this case, we're going to discuss soon the case where you have certain cases where you need two things in order to be matir a korban, and each of them, one of them by itself is not going to be enough. And we'll still say, and Reb Meir would still say that you're able to make a korban pigul with only that one. So the same thing, Reb Meir is going to say you would be able to make the korban pigul with only one simen. So therefore, you could easily have that he's having in mind during the cutting of one simen a thought of chutz l'zmanoi. During the cutting of the other simen, he's having in mind chutz l'mekoymoi. And fine, since all of those are considered part of the process of shechita, all of those are considered the actual shechita, the actual matir, then therefore that will work, and it's possible to make it pigul that way. The implication, obviously, is Rava disagrees with that, and Rava holds ein of a shechita, el of a soif, that no, only the last stroke that gets you beyond 50% of the two pipes is the actual shechita. Everything else is only a lead up to the shechita. So therefore, so now necessarily you have to have, if he's having machshavas, if he's saying chutz l'zmanoi and he's saying chutz l'mekoymoi, we have to be talking about during that last stroke, he's having those two machshavas and referring to different kezesim of the korban. One kezais that he plans to eat chutz l'zmanoi and one that he plans to eat chutz l'mekoymoi. So now applying that to our Gemara over here, acherim would be Reb Meir. Therefore, according to Rava's understanding of Reb Meir, that Rava evidently holds ein al shchita elul basoif. So you would say the reason why Acherim are saying if he had in mind first the arelim then the molim, there was no time during that last stroke to have both of them, to be able to say both of them one after the other. Therefore, that's why he's saying, so if he put the mulim first, then fine. He said mulim as he was doing that last stroke. By the time he says Arelim, the Shechita is already over. At that point, he's already accomplished a kosher Shechita. So saying Arelim won't affect anything. And vice versa, if he says Arelim first, then he said Arelim during that last stroke. And by the time he says Mulim, it's too late to say anything else. So does that mean that necessarily we can show that Acherim being Rav Meir, holds that way, and then that would strengthen Rava's position in that sugya in Zvachim and go against Abayas? That Abaya would say that Rav Meir can easily hold Yeshna l'shchita mitchilav ad soif, that the whole process of shchita is, that the whole process from when he puts the knife to the neck of the animal until he cuts through most of the two simonim is all considered part of the process of shchita, then on the face of it, there'd be no reason to say that there's a difference whether we put the mulim first or the arelim first. Either way, at some point during the shchita process, he said Mulim. At some other part, he said Arelim. So what's the difference? What the order would be?
So Abaye and Rava understand Meir differently, basically, opposite ways.
Right, so that's what we're asking. It seems that our Braisa over here, quoting Acherim, and Acherim usually is Reb Meir, can only work according to Rava's understanding of Reb Meir. Because according to Abaye's understanding of Reb Meir, if we say Yeshna Shchita Mitchilav Ad Soif, that the entire cutting is considered part of the process of Shchita, and therefore that Machshavas that are going to passel during Shchita can be done any time during that period, then there's easily enough time to say Mulim and Arelim, and the order shouldn't make a difference. Only according to Rava, Eina L'Shchita Elo L'Soif, would we say during that last stroke, there's no time to have to say both of them, so therefore whichever one he said at that point is the one that's chal. So therefore, Hilkach, so going back to the Gemara, therefore, we would argue, Hikdim Mulim La'arelim, if he said the Mulim first, then we would say Mulim Chayli Arelim L'Chayli, only the fact that he said Mulim is going to take effect, because that's what was said during that last stroke, Arelim L'Chayli. When he said Arelim, then it's too late. That won't be chal, because by the time he says that, he's already finished that stroke that makes it a kosher shchita. On the other hand, Hikdim Arelim Mulim, but if he says Arelim first, you have the other way, Arelim Chayli Mulim Lechayli. Then he only has in mind the Arelim during that last stroke, the Mulim not. And therefore, we would say that's why Acherim would say that there's a difference which order he said it in. Okay. Now, on the other hand, Omar Rabba, but Rabba says not necessarily do you have to understand Acherim that way. Not necessarily do we have to understand it like Rabba's understanding of Rameir. Lo'olam kasavri Acherim yeshna l'shchita metchilav ad soif. You could say that maybe Acherim hold that the entire shchita from when he puts the knife to the neck until he finishes doing the kosher shchita, until he gets beyond 50% of each of the two pipes, that could all be considered part of the process of shchita. And therefore, yes, in principle, there would be enough time to say both mulim and arelim during that time. But v'hocha b'maya skinan, but says Rabbi, the scenario could be kugan shugoma b'libo l'tarvayu bein l'mulim bein l'arelim. He had decided in his mind that he is going to have in mind both the Mulim and the Arelim. In the event he started by saying Arelim first, by the time he managed to say the word Mulim, then the Shchita was already finished, having said only the word Arelim. So it's a subtle difference from what Rava is saying. But what we said, to understand it like Rava, would mean that whatever he said during the beginning of the Shchita wouldn't matter. Only what he says during that last stroke of the knife that gets you beyond 50% of the two pipes, that would be what takes effect. Now, Rabbi is saying, we could be talking about from the beginning of the Shchita, he started saying Arelim, and then he meant to say Mulim, and by the time he got around to saying the word Mulim, he shechted faster than expected, and therefore he wound up not having the time to say Arelim before he finished the kosher Shchita. So now, Uvahal Pligi, so now we would say the Machlokes between Rav Meir and between Rav Meir, between Acherim and the other Chachamim would be as follows. Did Rav Meir sava loiba in and piv v'libay shavim? Rav Meir would say we don't require that what he says and what he thinks are the same thing. So in other words, the fact that he had in mind Mulim and Arelim doesn't help us, because the fact is he actually said only Arelim. We don't care that he had in mind the Mulim as well. And therefore, it would be possible. Rabbanan Sabri, written in Pivli B'Shavin, whereas the Chachamim would say that you do have to have that he's saying exactly what he thinks, and therefore, even though he only said Arelim, but since he had actually had in mind the same Mulim as well, and just he didn't have a chance to say it before he finished the Shechita, then the Chachamim would say it's still kosher. Which, by the way, Tosfos points out over here that when we talk about, we mentioned at the beginning a couple of days ago when we started talking about this whole thing of Machshava in Kodshim, that necessarily we see from this Gemara that it has to mean speaking, because otherwise, how else are you going to understand it? If it means thinking, we're saying over here that he's thinking about both of them. So obviously, therefore, it has to be that only the speaking, even though we always use throughout Shast, whenever we talk about Pigul and Posel and Chutz L'Zmanei and Chutz L'Mekoymei and Shaloi L'Shmoi and all these other things, we always use the word Machshava. But Tosfos says, we see from this Gemara over here that we don't mean Machshava in his mind, we mean actually speaking it out. On the other hand, we said the other day that the Mishnah Melech understands the Rambam to be saying that even Machshava, even just a thought, would be enough to passel it. So then different Achronim talk about various angles. So how would the Rambam understand our Gemara over here? Maybe one answer is that over here we see he's not just relying on his Machshava, he actually wants to speak it out. So therefore we would say we have to go according to what he's speaking out. But if he had not planned to speak it at all and only to think it, then maybe indeed we would go according to his Machshava. Okay. The problem with that is the kasavar a mayor labor in and piv libe shavim. So you're telling me that mayor doesn't require that what he says has to match what he's thinking? That even though in this case he had in mind the arelim as well as the mulim, but he only said arelim and didn't have a chance to say mulim in time, and that would be enough to pass all the korban? Or a minu, I have a contradiction. A braisa says, hamiskaven loymar truma of Amma Meiser, if a person intended to say about certain produce that this should be truma, and instead he said Meiser, or Meiser of Amma Truma, or Oi She'eni Nichvas Lebayis Zeb Amma Lazeh, he wanted to make a neder that I'm not going to go into this house, and by mistake he said this other house. So he said, I don't want to go into this house, and by mistake he said, I'm making a neder that I'm not going into that house. Or he meant to say, I'm going to make a neder, I don't want to have Hana from Reuven, and by mistake he said Shimon. Loi amaklum, so what he said doesn't count for anything, unless what he says and what he thinks are the same thing. So it's not a Brais actually, it's a Mishnah, and Stam Mishnah and a Meir, so therefore we have to assume that this represents the opinion of a Meir. So the mayor agrees that you have to have pivoli b'shavim. So how is he saying it differently over here? Elo amar Abaya. So no, Abaya says you have to have a different answer. So again, so far we have two ways of understanding the mayor's opinion. We have Rava's way of understanding it, that would be that he holds ein al shchita elo b'soif, and therefore the result is we can only go according to what he said during that last stroke of the knife. We had Rava's way that we're talking about that he did have plenty of time, but he had the entire time during the Shechita, but in the event, he only ended up saying Arelim and didn't say Mulim until after the Shechita was over. Now, Abaye says a third explanation. Reisha, de Omar Simon Risha Mamulim, the Simon Shani Afla Arelim. The Reisha of when our Mishnah said, now our Mishnah had said that if he has Arelim in mind, then it's possible, but if he had in mind Mulim as well as Arelim, then it's kosher. So the Reisha of the Mishnah is talking to almost Simon Rishon Lemulim, the Simon Sheni Afla Arelim. So what it is, he said the first Simon I'm doing on behalf of the Mulim, on behalf of the people who have a Bris Milah, who are able to eat from this Korban Pesach. And then the Simon Sheni, when he comes to cutting the second Simon, he says that I'm having in mind also the Arelim. So Dibasimon Sheni Nami Psichi Be Mulin. So now the second simon also has the mulin in it. The first simon was exclusively for the mulin, and the second one was for the mulin as well as the arelim. So that's fine. Sefer, as opposed to the sefer of the Mishnah, of the Braisa, where we quoted Achedim Oimrim, where we said that Achedim make a distinction which one he put first. That would be talking about the Omer Simon Rishon La'arelim Simon Sheni La'mulim. Was the other way around. When he said when he's cutting the first simon, he thinks to himself, or he says to himself rather, according to Rashi and Tosfos, that I'm doing this on behalf of the arelim Simon Sheni La'mulim. Then he does the second simon, and says that one I'm having in mind the mulim. So now the problem is he cut one whole simon with a thought of Arevin. The problem with that is, therefore, Rav Meir the Tainei d'omem faglin b'chatzi matir. Now Rav Meir, therefore, is going according to his svara that we find in connection with Menachos, that you're able to make a korban pigul even if you have the machshava of zman only with half of the matir. Namely, when it comes to a korban mincha, you have the, when it comes to an animal korban, you only have the matir, which is the blood of the korban when you sprinkle it on the mizbeach. Then the korban is mutter to eat. You only have one matu. You just have the blood and that's that. Now, when it comes to a mincha, you have two things of the mincha that have to be offered on the mizbeach in order for it to be a kosher mincha. You have the koimetz, you have the handful that the kohen took out of the mincha, and you have the levona that's sprinkled on it. So now, is it possible, what if he had in mind a thought of pigul, a thought of chutz lezmanoi, that he's going to eat the mincha the next day? What if he had that in mind only when he's offering the koimetz and not when he's offering the levona, or vice versa? So Reb Meir still says it's pigul, because yes, it's chatzi matir, it's only half of the matir, but Reb Meir says that's enough to make it pigul. The Chachamim disagree and say, ein mefaglin b'chatzi matir, you cannot make the korban pigul by having a thought of zman doing only half the matir. Well, applying that to our case over here, Reb Meir l'taimei, Reb Meir is going to go according to his svara, d'am mefaglin b'chatzi matir. The same way as over there, the korban can become pigul by having in mind the thought of pigul only when he's burning the koimetz, not when he's burning the levona. The same way over here, Reb Meir would say that he had a thought of arelim exclusively only during one simen. Well, you need both simonim to be cut for it to be a kosher shechita. Therefore, Reb Meir is going to say that's in effect chatzi matir. And still, the same way as over there, that's enough to make it pigul. Then the same way over here, that's enough to make the korban pasul. But Rabbanan the time by Adama and Amri Ein Mefaglin b'chatzi matir. The Chachamim meanwhile are going according to their svara that they say you can't do that. The same way as with a mincha, it's only pigul if he has in mind to eat the shirayim tomorrow. Only if he has that thought while he's burning the koimetz and while he's burning the levona. The same way the Chachamim are going to say over here, only if he has in mind exclusively the arelim doing both simonim, then it's going to be possible. But if he puts over here, if he did one simon exclusively for arelim, then Reb Meir was going to say that's enough to make it possible. The Chachamim will say no, it would only be possible if he did both simonim for arelim. In fact, actually, Tosfos points out, so why does it matter the order? On the face of it, then you could say the same thing if he had in mind the first one for mulim and arelim, and the second one. So in other words, why does Reb Meir have to tell us only if you put mulim before arelim is it kosher? You could say the same thing. If you put for the first simon mulim and arelim, and the second simon mulim and arelim would also be fine. And actually it would be the same thing even if he did the first one arelim and mulim, and the second one arelim and mulim. It wouldn't really matter the order, as long as he has no simon is exclusively for arelim. So therefore, Tosfos explains what Reb Meir means is, what if the first one he did for mulim, but the second one, he said that the second one he said for arelim. But still, since he did the first one for mulim, then we can assume that it means that he meant also arelim. So therefore, when he does the second one, he still probably has in mind the mulim as well. He's just adding arelim in the second one. Therefore, it's still going to be kosher because you have no one simon. Oh, you know what? I skipped did I skip a few lines over here in the Gemara? Yeah, I think I did. Ela Amar Abaye, Reish Shadam, a Simon Rishon Lemulin, a Simon Sheni Afla Arelim, Deva Simon Sheni Nami Psichi Be Mulin. So the result is, in the second Simon, Mulim are mixed in as well. Because even though in the second Simon, Afla Arelim implies also for the Arelim. So in other words, the Mulim and the Arelim. So the Mulim are mixed in the second Simon as well. There's no one Simon exclusively for Arelim. Sefer Dama Simon Rishon Arelim Simon Sheni Lemulin. The Sefer is the other way around. He said the first one for Arelim, the second one for Mulin. There was Simon Rishon Holei Psichi Be Mulin. There's Simon Rishon. The Mulin are not mixed in at all because he only mentioned Arelim in the first one. And so in other words, Tosfos was explaining over here that if he says Afla Arelim in the second one, or even if he doesn't, even if the first one he does for Mulin and the second one he says I'm doing for Arelim, we can assume that it means Afla Arelim. Therefore, it would be kosher. But if he said the first one for Arelim, there's no reason to assume that he means Mulim as well, because otherwise he wouldn't have said Arelim. Therefore, we don't assume then that when he shecht the second one on behalf of the Mulim, then retroactively it means that all along in the first one he meant the Mulim as well. No, he said Arelim exclusively by the first one. Therefore, that's how it stands. The first one is exclusively for Arelim. So again, Rav Meir, the Taimei, the Amar Mefaglin, the Chatzi Matir. Rav Meir is going according to his Svara that you're able to make Pigul even with only half the Matir, and in this case, only one out of the two Simonim. Rabbanon, the Taimei, the Amar Ein Mefaglin, the Chatzi Matir. The Chacham say it's impossible to do that. It's only Pigul if he had in mind doing the whole Matir. So the same thing over here, only if he had Arelim in mind exclusively during both Simonim. And in this case, even if he put Arelim in the first one, which means only Arelim, not Mulim, but because in the second one he said Mulim, then therefore the Chachamim are saying that's good enough. Even if you have, it means Arelim and Mulim in the second one. The fact is you do have Mulim in the second one, and it would only be possible according to them only if it was exclusively Mulim. So that's Abaya's understanding of Reb Meir's Shitta. That's why we're saying that it depends which one he put first, because if he put the Mulim first, as Tosfos says, so then if he says Afla Arelim, that's what the Gemara is saying, then for sure it means he means the Mulim and the Arelim for the second Simon. So then for sure it's good because you have Mulim involved in both of them. But even if he only says La Arelim, then Tosfos says, even that would be enough for it to be good, because once he said Mulim first, we have a right to assume that when he said Arelim by the second one, he means also Arelim. So therefore it comes out Mulim have been mentioned in both of them. But if it was the other way around, if he said Arelim by the first one, then you don't have that loophole. Then you have to say he meant exclusively Arelim for the first one. And Reb Meir would say that that's enough to make the code impossible. Okay. Mishnah says. Now, background for this Mishnah, the Torah tells us in a couple of psukim that you're not allowed to shecht the Korban Pesach while you have chametz in your possession. There's two places, in Parshas Mishpatim and in Parshas Kisisa, where the Torah tells us, Lois sishchat al chametz dam zivchi. You're not allowed to shecht the Korban Pesach while you have chametz. Now, we learned actually all the way in the first perek of our Masechta that this is one reason, this is one way of deriving that chametz is also to have around from Chatzos of Erev Pesach, because Chatzos of Erev Pesach is in principle the earliest time that the Korban Pesach could be shechted. Practically speaking, we said at the beginning of the Perek that they would shecht it usually later in the afternoon. The earliest they would ever shecht it is after the Korban Talmud was offered at 7.5 hours in the day, and that was when Erev Pesach came out on Erev Shabbos. But we also said that if the Korban Pesach was shechted before the Talmud, then b'dieved it's kosher. So therefore, in principle, the Korban Pesach could be brought any time from after Chatzos. So, but in any case, besides the issur, besides that you have the issur, bal yiro, bal yimotze, you have issurim to have chometz around in general, and that applies whether you bring the Korban Pesach or not. Besides that, you have a specific mitzvah when you bring the Korban Pesach not to have chometz in your possession. So now we're going to talk about, in our Mishnah, and the Gemara, we're going to be talking about the details of that deed. So the Mishnah says, "Hashrichet as a Pesach al chametz over b'loisese." If a person shecht the Korban Pesach while he has chametz in his possession, then he's over on a loisese, and therefore he's chayiv malchus. Rabbi Yehuda Omer after Tomid, Rabbi Yehuda says not only the Korban Pesach but also the Tomid Shabbein Habayim of Erev Pesach, he has to not have chametz in his possession. Why is that? We're going to learn. Why is that? We're going to learn in the Gemara tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem. By the way, Tosfos points out that even if now he's over on an Isser when he does this, nevertheless, the Korban Pesach is still kosher. So that even though he had chometz in his possession, he's getting malchus for that, but the Pesach itself is still kosher. Okay. Reb Shimon Omer, Reb Shimon says a little more complicated than that. Now, we learned a couple of Mishnayos ago that the Pesach is one of the two Korbanos, the other one is the Chatas, where if you shecht it Shaloi L'Shmoi, it's posel. Most other Korbanos, we said, if you shecht them Shaloi L'Shmoi, they're kosher, they just don't count, the owner is not Yotze with them, but nevertheless, they're still kosher. The Pesach and the Chatas, we said, are completely posel if he does them Shaloi L'Shmoi. So Reb Shimon Omer, HaPesach Ba'abo also L'Shmoi Chayev, if he shecht the Korban Pesach on the 14th of Nisan, and he had chometz in his possession, and he shecht it l'shmoi, having in mind that it's a Korban Pesach, then he's over on this issur of l'sishchat al chometz, and therefore he's getting malchus. The shaloi l'shmoi potter. But if he were to shecht the Korban shaloi l'shmoi, then the Korban is posel. Now, Rav Shimon holds of a concept in a number of places in Shas. He holds of a concept shchita she'ena ru'uya lav shmo shchita. a shchita, which is not going to actually make the korban, which is not going to make the animal kosher to eat, Rabbi Shimon says is not considered a valid shchita. So in this case, if he shechted it shaloi l'shmoi, it's possible, meaning that you have to take it now and burn it. You can't complete the avoidance of the korban of it. Therefore, that's an example of shchita shein ru'uya. You're shechting it, but it's invalid as a shchita because it's a possible korban. So therefore, Rav Shimon holds that's not considered shchita. Therefore, he's not over on lois shchata al chametz because he didn't accomplish a shchita. So therefore, he says,
automatically go as a shlomim then? Because whatever.
No, because we're talking on Erev Pesach and he shechted it l'shmoy. That's the thing. He shechted it l'shmoy. No, oh, I'm sorry. He shechted it shaloy l'shmoy. No. On Erev Pesach, achal chatzos, it doesn't automatically become a shlomim. If he wanted to make it into a shlomim on Erev Pesach, or as we talked about before, possibly before Pesach as well, he would need akira. He would have to say or do something to demonstrate that he's making it a shlomim. But here he's shechting it shaloy l'shmoy. He's shechting it as some other korban, so therefore it becomes possible. Korban Pesach is one of the two. The chatos is the other one, where we said if he shechts shaloi l'shmoi, it's possible. So it doesn't become a shlomim; it becomes a possible korban Pesach, and it has to be burnt. So therefore, it's a shchita she'en ru'uya. It's a shchita that didn't accomplish to be able to make the animal kosher to eat. Therefore, Rav Shimon says, as he holds in many other places in Shas, that such a thing is not considered a shchita at all. Therefore, he wasn't over on lois sishchat al chametz because it's not considered a shchita. Then he continues, Ushar kol hazvachim. Now, as far as other korbanos, if he shechts them on Erev Pesach achar chatzos, and he has chametz in his possession, bein l'shman, bein uvein shaloi l'shman, whether he shechts these other korbanos l'shmoi or shaloi l'shmoi, either way, potter, and then he's potter, because, so it doesn't matter, even though those other korbanos are kosher, he's still potter, because he's only chayev for shechting the korban Pesach with chametz in his possession, not other korbanos. So not like Rabbi Yehuda, who says he's chayev also for the korban tamid. Rabbi Shimon says, no, this is exclusive to the korban Pesach, and therefore any other korban that he shechts on the 14th, so whether it ends up being a kosher korban or a posel korban, either way he's potter if he has chametz. Then he continues, Uvam Moyed. Now, what happens during Pesach itself? Lishmoy Potter, if he shechts, during Pesach itself, if he shechts an animal that should have been a Korban Pesach, and he's shechting it now, Lishmoy, having in mind that's a Korban Pesach, then Lishmoy Potter, so he's going to be Potter, because now it's not a Korban Pesach anymore. Now it's Shaloi Bismano. Now it's, we learned a couple of days ago that if you shecht the Korban Pesach outside of the time when you're supposed to be shechting it, it's only supposed to be shechted Erev Pesach afternoon, or okay, Pesach Sheni, if you bring a Pesach Sheni, but not outside that time. So now he goes and shechts it during Pesach, having in mind that it's a Korban Pesach, well then it's possible. So therefore he's potter from shechting it if he has chametz in his possession. Shaloi l'shmoi chayev. On the other hand, Rav Shimon would say, this same animal, if he shechts it, shaloi l'shmoi, namely he shechts it as a shlomim, now he's chayev, because now it's a shchita ru'uya, because now he's shechting an animal that should have been a Korban Pesach, and it is now being brought as what a Korban Pesach becomes chutz l'zmanoi, namely a shlomim. So therefore, not only Rashi says he's over on Bayura, Bayimotze, he's also getting malkus because he's over on lois sishchat al chametz dam zivchi. Because even though right now this thing is not a Korban Pesach, but it is becoming a kosher korban, namely a perfectly kosher korban shlomim, and therefore he's over on lois sishchat al chametz, because now it was a shchita ru'uya. Ushar kol hazvachim bein l'shman bein l'shaloi l'shman chayev, and as opposed to during the rest of Pesach, any other korban that he shechts, whether shaloi or shaloi l'shmoi, and he has chametz in his possession, again, those are all going to be kosher korbanos, because again, even if he shechts them shaloi l'shmoi, they're still kosher, that he's just not yotze. So therefore, so he's chayev, with the exception of a chatas that he shechted shaloi l'shma, because as we know, a chatas is the only other korban besides a korban Pesach where shaloi l'shma is possible, and therefore again it's a shchita shein ru'uya. So in short, in other words, Rav Shimon is saying like this: on Erev Pesach itself, the only korban a person is chayev is over on the issue of lois sishchat al chametz dam zibchi, and is getting malchus for that. The only one would be the korban Pesach, and only if he's shechting at l'shmoi, because if it's not l'shmoi, then it's possible. During Pesach itself, though, we're extending that not only to the Korban Pesach, the Shechtzit, and now as a Shlomim, which is what it became, not having been brought as a Korban Pesach, but even other Korbanus, any other Korban that he Shechts with Chametz in his possession, whether the as long as it's a Kosher Korban, meaning anything other than a Chatas Shaloi Lishma. So we're going to discuss in the Gemara, we're going to discuss tomorrow in the Gemara the ins and outs of Reb Shimon's opinion, why he holds that way. Okay. So the Gemara starts off. Let's talk according to the Tanna Kamma. Again, we said a Shochet is a Pesach al HaChometz over Beloy Seser. So what does that mean exactly? Who is it that has Chometz in his possession? Amar Reb Shimon Lakish, La'olam Einei Chayev. He's only chayev ad shei chametz la shoychet or la zorek or la echad mibnei chabura. It has to be that the chametz belongs either to the one who's shecht in the Korban Pesach or the kohen who's sprinkling the blood. Actually, the Meiri also adds that it would also apply to the kohenim who are doing the avodas in between, the Kabbalah and the Halacha, although not everybody agrees to that. But also only if they have chametz, or one of the members of the group that are registered for this Korban Pesach. So if one of them has, chometz, then we're saying that we're over on this. But in other words, as opposed to Rashi says, if somebody else has chometz with him, now the pasuk says le'sishchaf al chometz dam zivchi. It's not so obvious that should mean only if one of the members of the people involved with this Korban Pesach has chametz. Conceivably, it could just as well mean if there's chametz around. So imagine, for example, you have Reuven, Shimon, and Levi registered for a Korban Pesach. Now you have the Kohen Yehuda is shechting it. Another Kohen Yisachar is sprinkling the blood. Meanwhile, in the Azara, Zvulun is standing over there with chametz. On the face of it, maybe you should be over also, because after all, lo sishchat al chametz dam zivchi, and the shchita was done, and there is chametz there. But no, Rish Lakish is telling us that no, it's only if the shochet or the zorek or one of the people registered for this Korban Pesach has chametz in their possession, va'ad sheyehei imei ba'azara, and furthermore, in order to be chayev, that chametz would actually have to be with them in the azara. Only then are they over. Now, who is it that's over in that case? We actually have a couple of different opinions over here. Let's say, for example, Reuven, one of the members of the group, has chometz in his possession. Does that mean that Reuven has the chometz in his possession and in the Azara, according to Rish Lakish, and Shimon, meanwhile, is shechting the korban? Does that mean Shimon is chayev? Tosfos says that yes, it's actually not Reuven who's going to be over, it's actually going to be Shimon who's shechting the korban, and Levi who's going to be doing the zrika, because the fact of the matter is that they're the ones who are doing the shechita, and they're the ones who are doing the zrika, therefore they're going to be chayev. Reuven is guilty for having chametz in his possession, but he's not the one who's actually being shechit or being zoret, therefore he can't be chayev. You have other rishonim who learn that in fact all of them are going to be chayev, and then you have the Rambam holds no, whichever one has chometz is the one who's chayev. So if Reuven, one of the members of the group, has chometz in his possession while the Korban Pesach is being shechted, that he belongs to that group, then he is the one chayev malchus. The ones who are shechting and the ones who are doing the zrika are not.
What about the Korban Pesach itself?
The Korban Pesach itself, we said, is kosher regardless. According to the Shlokish, the criteria are: only the people who are involved in this Korban Pesach are the ones where we're worried about them having chametz. Only if one of them has chametz are we over on Lois Sishchat al chametz, and only if that chametz is with them in the Azara. Yeah, what were we going to ask?
Didn't we learn from the Mudim earlier that if a person is chayiv, even if he has at home, because we have a limit that as long as during the time that you're bringing your Korban Pesach, you're not supposed to have chametz at home.
So that's Rabbi Yechanan. Rabbi Yechanan Amar. The question is that we know a person is not allowed to have chametz in his possession, bechlal, during Pesach, so why would it matter if it's with him in the Azara? Wait, we're going to talk about that point. Rabbi Yochanan Omer, afal pi shein imei ba'azara. Rabbi Yochanan says it doesn't matter, even if the chametz is not with him in the Azara, just the fact that it's in his possession, in his house, is enough to make that he's over on Lo Sishchat al chametz. Again, according to Tosfos, that therefore, whichever one is shecht in the Korban Pesach is going to be chayev, because one of the members of the group has chametz in his possession, or according to the Rambam, we would say that the person himself who has the chametz in his house when his Korban Pesach is being shechted is the one that's chayiv. So the Gemara asks, but my committee, what is the underlying machloikas between Rish Lakish and Rabbi Yechanan? Are you going to say that their argument is about what the word al means? Whether the pasuk says "Vayishchat al chametz," so does that mean the word al has to be next to? So therefore, did Rabbi Shimon Lakish suffer al besamuch? He holds that the word al has to mean close by, like we find, for example, the pasuk "Va'olav Matim Menashe," meaning that Shevet Menashe was camped right next to Shevet Ephraim. So over here, therefore, it would have to be al chametz, meaning that the chametz is right near them in the Azorah, where the Korban Pesach is being injected. Rabbi Yechanan sava loy in an al besamuch, whereas Rabbi Yechanan would be saying that the word al can mean more broadly, that he has chametz around, even if it's not actually here in the Azorah. But if that's the case, if that's the source of their machlokas, we don't need them to be arguing in that case. In this case, we already have such a machlokas of theirs in a different context, and therefore we should be able, once we know that in a different context they have this machlokas, whether al means samoch or not, then automatically we would know that the same thing applies over here. They wouldn't actually have to be arguing in our case over here. Namely, Ditnan, we learn in a Mishnah in Menachos, now you have like this. We know you bring a korban toda. You have 40 loaves of bread that come with it, 30 matzah, 10 chametz. Now what happens is like this. Like with most korbanos, you have stages of kedusha that it goes through. You have the point when you designated the dough that's going to be made, that's going to be used to bake these loaves of bread. At that point, they have kedushas domim. At that point, they belong to Hekdesh. So you're not allowed to eat them or have hanah from them unless you buy them back from Hekdesh. Then you have that. Now, in order for them to have kedushas haguf, where kedushas haguf would make it that one, that if they become that, so at this point, once they have kedushas domim, for example, then one thing is if they become tomei, let's say, then you're able to buy them back from Hekdesh and they become cholin. But there comes a point when they get kedushas haguf, where after that, if they become tameh, then there's nothing you can do with them. They become tameh, they become posel, even if a tefil yoyim touches them, or mechosuk kippurim, if they're left overnight, they become posel, etc. When does that kick in? When does that take place? When the korban that they're accompanying is shechted. So the Mishnah says, hashreichet toda lefnim, if the person shechts a korban toda inside the azara, where he's supposed to, v'lach mechutz lachoyma, the bread was located at that point outside the wall of Yerushalayim. Well, outside the wall, we don't know which wall yet. Loi kodesh halachem. The bread does not get kedushas haguf. It remains with kedushas domim because it has to be near the korban. It has to be somewhere in the area of the korban when the korban is shechted in order to get kedushas haguf. Now, what does that mean? Which choyma are we talking about? My chutz lachoyma. Rabbi Yochanan am a chutz lachoymas beis pagi. Rabbi Yochanan says it means if it's outside the wall of Beis Pagi. Beis Pagi is an area in the city of Yerushalayim. In some other places, Rashi explains it's like an extension of the city. Whatever it is, the point is, once it's outside that wall, then it's outside the city of Yerushalayim. You can't eat Kodshim Kalim in that area. So if the bread is in that area, outside the actual wall of Yerushalayim, when the korban is shechted, then it doesn't become kaddish. But if it is outside the wall of the Azara, but it's someplace within the walls of Yerushalayim, then yes, it is good enough, and shechting the korban will give it kedushas haguf. So Rabbi Yochanan would say, we don't require, even though there also the pasuk uses the word al, the hikriv al zevach atoida. Nevertheless, we don't say that we don't say that it has to be al means it has to be right there in the Azorah. It's good enough if it's in the city of Yerushalayim, which is the area. After all, once the Toda is brought, the whole city of Yerushalayim is where these lachme Toda can be eaten. So therefore, as long as they're somewhere within that area, then that's good enough. Rav Shimon Lakishama after the chutz lachem as Azorah like Kaddish. Whereas Rav Shlokish says, no, even if it's outside the wall of the Azorah, then they don't get kedushas haguf because they're not al, they're not next to the korban in the Azorah. Alma be'in and al b'samuch. So we see from that Rav Shlokish holds that the word al means nearby, And Rabbi Yochanan holds that Al doesn't have to be that nearby. So therefore, so we know that they already argue on that point. So we don't need them to tell us again that they argue on that point over here about loisishchat al chametz. So therefore, so why repeat the machlokes? Okay. So are you going to say they're arguing about the point of hasra suffik? Now you think about it like this. To be chayav malchus, of course, a person needs hasra. If we tell him, he's about to shech this korban, and we tell him, wait a minute, only if we actually see the chametz with him, can we give him hasra svadai. Otherwise, it's only asra suffik. If the chametz is in his house, we, the Edim, can't know for a fact that he has chametz in his house. So therefore, it would be asra suffik. It would be a suffik whether he actually has chametz in his possession or not. So is that considered a valid asra or not? Now, Tosfos says, wait a minute. If it's just a matter of we, the Edim, don't know whether he has chametz in his house, who cares whether the Edim know? He knows whether he has chametz in his house. So Tosfos explains that actually what it means is he himself may not be certain. After all, he knew when he left to come to the Beis Mikdash to bring his korban. Fine, he knew he had chametz in his house. But meanwhile, in between, somebody could have eaten it, somebody could have burnt it, whatever. So he himself has a certain suffix. And in fact, Tosfos says maybe in fact that's what Rashi means. Maybe Rashi means, in other words, when we give him Nasra and we tell him, wait a minute, we know that you have chametz in your house. If you don't get rid of it, you're going to be Oivron, you're going to be Chayav Malkus. He could say, I don't know if I actually have chametz in my house right now. Maybe I do, maybe I don't. Maybe somebody ate it right now. So are we going to say that that's what Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish are arguing about? Can't be. Can't be, because regarding that also, we have a machlokas Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish about that point in a different context. And again, they wouldn't have to repeat the same machlokas over here. The Itmar, namely, we have a discussion between Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish as follows. Suppose a person says, Shvua sha'oicho kiko zu hayoim. He makes a shvua, I'm going to eat this loaf of bread today. V'over hayoim v'loi ochla. The whole day passed and he didn't end up eating the bread. So he was over on a shvua. So is he chayev malchus for it? On the face of it, he should be, because he was over on loisisa Hashem Hashem alakach alashav. But Rab Yechanan and Rab Shimon Lakish to Ami Tavayu Ein Eloika, both Rab Yechanan and Rish Lakish agree that he doesn't get Malkus, but for different reasons. Rab Yechanan Ami Ein Eloika, Mishim Dehavel Lab Shein Me Maisa. He says, you know why he's not getting Malkus? Because there's no Maisa involved. He didn't actually do anything, because it was a passive thing. He said he's going to eat the bread. In the event, he didn't eat it. So he's sitting there passively and didn't end up eating it. And B'chol Lab Shein Me Maisa Ein Loika Nolab. You can't get Malkus where the violation was done passively. So that's why he's not getting Malkus. Avo hasra suffik shmo hasra. But Rabbi Yochanan would say, the fact that it was a suffik to begin with, whether he would do it or not, that itself would be a valid hasra. Meaning, if Edim come to him and tell him, you made a shvua, you're going to eat this bread today. You better eat it today, or you're going to be over on the shvua. We don't say that that's a hasra suffik, because he could say, I still have plenty of time in the day, and therefore we can't be sure at the time of the hasra that he's actually going to be in a position to be over on it. Rabbi Yochanan says, I don't care about that. I don't care the fact that there was a suffik, whether in the end he would end up eating it that day or not. We can give him a hasra in advance. The only reason why he's not going to be over it, why he's not going to be chayav malchus in the end, is because there was no maisa involved. Whereas Rish Lakish says exactly the other way around. It's a hasra suffik. Anytime we give him hasra, you better eat this bread or you're going to be chayav malchus. He could say, what do you mean I have to eat this bread or I'm going to be chayav malchus? I still have time left in the day. The only time that would be conceivably possible to do it would be if they gave him the hasra after hasra, in order for the person to be chayav malchus, he has to do the aveira b'toich kedei dibur. He has to then violate it within the time that it takes a shon malach rebbe after the hasra, after he accepted the hasra. So only if they timed it exactly right, where they had just enough time for him to be makabel the hasra and then not be able to eat it before the day ends, only then would he be chayev. And come on, they're not going to be able to time it that exactly. So realistically, any time during the day that they're going to be giving Hasra, either it's going to be too early and he still has time afterwards to eat the bread, and therefore it's not a valid Hasra, or it's going to be too late and there's no time for him to be even accepting the Hasra before Shkia is over. So it's Hasra Safik, Hasra Safik, Loshma Hasra. So the Shlokish says that can't be considered a Hasra when it's only based on a Safik. Ava lav she'ein b'maisa lo kenolav. But Rish Lakish would say if it was only a matter of a lav she'ein b'maisa, yes, it's true he's violating it passively because he's just sitting there and not eating the bread. But to begin with, he said a shvur, that would be reason enough to be chayiv, to be making him chayiv malchus. So we know already that they're arguing about that point, whether Hasra Suffolk is Hasra or not. So we don't need to repeat that over here. So again, in our case over here, if he doesn't have chametz in the actual azara with him, so therefore it's a hasra suffix. They can't know for sure that he has chametz in his possession right now. So you're going to argue. Rish Lakish is saying I don't care about that, and he can still be chayav malchus. And Rabbi Yochanan is going to say no. But that's exactly the same machlokas as I had before. There's no reason to repeat that machlokas over here. So Amri. So they answer lo olam ba'al b'samoch kamifri. We can answer that actually we can go back to our first assumption. Rabbi Yechanan and Rish Lakish are arguing on the point of whether Al means nearby or not. You're saying they already have that machloikis by the Lachmei Toida, so why do we have to repeat it over here? Or Tzricha, we still can say that they need to repeat their machloikis in our case because it's not so obvious that you could learn one from the other. De'i ifligu le'inin chometz, if they only argued about our case involving the chometz in his possession, you would say, have a minute, you would say like this, you know why over here Rabbi Yechanan doesn't require al to mean right next to. He says that anywhere he has the chametz, even if it's at home, he's chayev, mishum de iser hu, because after all, there is an iser. The Torah is telling us, don't shech the korban pesach or sprinkle the blood, etc., while you have chametz in your possession. And b'chol heicha de ise. So no matter where it is. The fact is, you have chametz in your possession, and the Torah doesn't want you having chametz in your possession when you're shechting the korban pesach. Avol in mikdash lechem, but you could argue as far as being makadish the bread with kedushas aguf loy kadish elabifnim. You could argue that maybe it only becomes kadosh inside the azara, which is where the korban itself is being shechted. So maybe, in other words, over there, we are going to say that al means strictly next to, because it has to be where the korban is. But over here, maybe al doesn't mean as strictly, because we're talking about an isser, and the same isser would apply no matter where it is in his possession. So maybe in the case of the Lachmei Toda, he would agree with Rish Lakish that there the word al doesn't necessarily mean close by. De ise gavoi kodesh, that only if it's inside the azara does it become kodesh. Eloi loy kodesh, and if not, then it doesn't become kodesh. And you could argue there's a logical reason to make that distinction, needed to have yaklei sharis, because after all, we could compare it with the klei sharis. A kli sharis is only mekadesh, what's put inside it. You don't have, for example, if you take flour for a mincha, let's say, and you touch it to the outside of a kli sharis, nothing happens. Only if you put it in the kli sharis does it get kedushas aguf. So by the same logic, only when the bread is inside the azara, maybe we could argue only then does it become kadosh. Tosfos says, come on, what kind of comparison is that, a kli sharis to the azara? So Tosfos says what it means is the clay sharis only have the effect of mekadesh, what you put inside them, only when they themselves are inside the azara. If you take a kli sharis outside the azara and you put it in and you put something inside it, then it won't be then it won't have kedushas aguf. Tosfos discusses that a little bit over here based on other gemaras, and there are other rishonim who learn that maybe actually a kli sharis to a certain extent would be effective outside the azara. It would make it, the thing becomes possible that if, for example, if you leave it overnight, it's going to become possible, but not kodesh to the extent that you can offer it on the mizbeach unless it's put into the kli sharis inside the azara. Whatever the case, the point is that Rabbi Yochanan would say, therefore, so you could argue that Rabbi Yochanan would have a logical reason to say that their al davka has to mean inside the azara, and that he agrees with Rish Lakish. So therefore, we need him to say the machlokas over there. The iash me'in and mikdash lachem. Conversely, if we only were told the machlokas about making the bread of the Torah Kodesh. Maybe only there Rish Lakish insists that Al has to mean nearby, where the E is a Gavoi Kaddish, only if it's inside the Azara does it become Kaddish, Eloi Le Kaddish, and if not, it doesn't become Kaddish, for the reason that we just said, because the Azara is like a Kli Sharis, or because the Kli Sharis itself only has its full effect when it's inside the Azara. But maybe when it comes to chametz, a shecht and the Korban Pesach with chametz, modulei the Rabbi Yechanan, maybe he would agree with Rabbi Yechanan, deloy ba inan al basamuch. Maybe over there, al doesn't necessarily require that it's nearby, the isurahu, because after all, we're talking about an isur, v'chol hecha de isay isay. So wherever the chametz is, it's still in his possession, and you could still argue that he's over on an isur. Tzricha, so therefore we need the machlokas in both cases. So yes, they are arguing about the meaning of the word al. But unlike we assumed to begin with, it was enough to say that machlokas by lachmei toda, and we could learn from it to chametz. Now we're saying not necessarily. Therefore, they had to repeat their argument over here also. Okay. Bomine Rav Oshia Mirav Ami. So now Rav Oshia asked Rav Ami a question as follows. Now we learned a bright. We learned at the bottom of Amud Aleph and the top of our Amud that Rish Lakish and Rav Yochanan both agreed that, even if it's not the Shechet or the Zodik themselves, but rather one of the members of the group that's going to be eating this Korban Pesach, that's registered for this Korban Pesach, and is going to be eating from it, that they have chametz, that's enough to trigger the Isser of Lo Sishchat al chametz. Now, Rav Oshia, though, is not certain about that. So he asks, Ein lo la Shechet, what if the one who's Shecht in the Korban Pesach does not have any chametz in his possession? V'yesh lo la Echad Mimnei Chavura, but one of the members of the group who is registered for this Korban Pesach does have chametz. Mahu, what would be the din? Does that trigger the Rish Lakish and Rav Yechanan took it for granted that it does, but Rav Oshia is not sure. Amale, so Rav Ami answers, Mik Sivlo, of course it does. Mik Sivlo, Sishchat Achametz Cha. After all, the Pasuk doesn't say you're not allowed to shech when you have, with your chametz. It lo Sishchat Achametz Siv. It says you're not allowed to shech on chametz or with chametz, meaning anybody who has to do with this Korban Pesach and has chametz, then you have a problem. So he asks him, Amalei, sort of Oshia asks him, Ihochi afilu la'echa b'seifa olam nami. No, then by that logic, if it says lo sishach al chametz, then maybe it means if anybody, even at the end of the world, has chametz and you shechted the Korban Pesach, then you're over because somebody had chametz.
Even if he's not
registered for this Korban Pesach, right? Yeah. Amalei, so he answered, yeah. So let's say, for example, this person who's shecht on the Korban Pesach, what if we tell him, you should know there's somebody else. So we tell him there's somebody else. He's not a member of your group, but he has chametz here in the Azara. Or he is here in the Azara. So let's say, fine, his chametz is not. Again, according to Rabbi Yechanan, his chametz doesn't have to be in the Azara. So we go over to Reuven, who's about to shech the Korban Pesach for himself and his group. And we tell him, you should know, Shimon, who's standing here in the Azara, has chametz in his house, which is miles away from you. So don't shech the Korban Pesach.
He's not a
member of your group or anything. But if you're saying, Lo sishchat al chametz, shouldn't Reuven still be over anyway? Amalei, so Rav Ami answers him, Amakra, lo sishchat v'lo yodin. Yes, but the Pasuk mentions in the same Pasuk, it says, don't shech the Korban Pesach, and then it says, don't leave over the fact of the Korban Pesach until the morning. So therefore, lo sish, or it means more generally also, don't leave over the meat of the Korban Pesach until the morning, because we know it has to be eaten all that night. So therefore, we learn from that Hekesh, lo sishchat ha-chametz hanach tekayim yaleh mishum lo yodin. Who does the chametz have to belong to in order to be over on Lo Sishchat, only the ones who are involved in Lo Yolin, only the ones who are involved in the mitzvah of not leaving over anything from the Korban Pesach, namely only the ones who are registered for it. The ones who aren't registered have nothing to do with this Korban Pesach. They're not even allowed to eat from it. So they're not shaykh to making sure that nothing of it is left over overnight. So therefore, if they have chametz, then that's not your problem. Amar Papa, so the Papa says, Hilkach. Therefore, we can see from this, Kohen HaMakdo is a chelev over Boizese. Therefore, we see from that that the Kohen who's burning the chelev of the Korban Pesach, if he or one of the members of the group that he's burning it on behalf of, if any of them have chametz, then he's going to be over. It said Lo Sishchat. And okay, zrika as well, because the pasuk says leishishkat al chametz dam zivchi. So you obviously don't sheft the blood. So it means, in other words, that you're also chayev. That also the one who's doing the zrika of the blood also can't have chametz in his possession. But what about the one who's burning the fat? But because since the pasuk says lo yolin, hayov yeshne b'chalal halama semurim, because he's also in the category of the one who will have a mitzvah not to leave over the emurim overnight. Because the same way as you have a mitzvah not to leave over from the meat of the Korban Pesach overnight, the same way there's a mitzvah not to leave the fat of the Korban Pesach unburnt until the morning. So the Kohen who's burning the fat, also he has to make sure that he and the other members of the group don't have chametz in their possession, otherwise he's over on this issur. So Moses Tanya Kabase de Rapapa. In fact, we learn a braisa like what Rapapa is saying. Person shechts the Korban Pesach with chametz in his possession, he's over on a loisaseh. Amasai, when does that apply? If it belongs to the one who's shecht in the Korban Pesach, or to the one who's sprinkling the blood, or one of the members of the group that's registered for the Korban Pesach. But if somebody else at the other end of the world has chametz, then we don't have to worry about him. Again, meaning Rashi said, even if that person himself is physically present in the Azara, but his chametz is b'sofa olam, we don't have to worry about him. The Braisa continues, both the ones who are shecht, the one who shechts, and the kohen who sprinkles the blood, and the kohen who burns the fat, all of them are chayev and are over on this isser if they or any of the members of the group have chametz in their possession. But suppose a kohen is doing malika of a bird on Erev Pesach, then it doesn't matter even if he or other people have chametz in their possession, he's not over on it. Namely, we learned earlier in the perek, you could have a scenario where a person is bringing a korban pesach, where a person is bringing a bird korban you could have a case where a person is bringing a bird korban during the time when usually they're bringing the korban pesach. Namely, we have the case of a mechusel kippurim. We have the case, for example, a zav, a yoledes, etc., where they didn't finish bringing their korbanos. We said in particular they have to bring their chatas in order to be able to eat kodshim. So if they are registered for a Korban Pesach, but they had not yet brought their chatas, and we're talking about where their chatas consists of a bird. So in the case of a zav or a zava, their chatas is always a bird. In the case of a yeledes, we said if it's a poor woman, then her chatas is a bird. If it's a rich woman, it's a sheep. But then we said then we had a machloikas over there whether we can also shech that at this time or whether we can also shech that at this time and leave over the fat overnight and have the kohen and burn it the next morning, or whether we can't do that. Whatever the case, so you have cases where a bird is being brought on Erev Pesach afternoon in order for a person to not be a machosuk kippurim anymore and be able to eat from the Korban Pesach. So therefore, now the Gemara is going to explain later that even though we learned in the Mishnah, Reb Shimon says that other korbanos that are brought during that time, a person can also be chayev if he has chametz in his possession, but still, over here, he's not chayev because even Reb Shimon agrees that on Erev Pesach, he's only chayev regarding the Korban Pesach. Now, Rashi actually says that in principle, the same din could apply to an animal korban as well. The reason why we're only mentioning birds is because, practically speaking, this is the only korban that you're going to be bringing during this time after Chatzos is only the korbanos of a Mechusa Kippurim. Now, it's true, we learned at the beginning of the Perek that you could bring Nedarim or Nedavis on Erev Pesach afternoon, but nevertheless, we leave time for it. But apparently Rashi is assuming, actually a couple of Achronim ask why Rashi is using this expression, but it seems, maybe the idea is that even though you could in principle bring other korbanos, practically speaking, people are not, because in any case, if a person has Nedarim or Nedavos, they might as well bring it during Pesach. So most people who are going to be bringing a korban Erev Pesach are going to be bringing birds. So therefore, we're mentioning a bird over here, but in other words, the same din would apply, according to Reb Shimon, to other korbanos as well, because according to him, on Erev Pesach, the only korban a person is chayev malkus for shechting when he has chametz in his possession is only the korban Pesach itself, not like Rabbi Yehuda, who had said in the Mishnah also the korban tamid. But rather, like we're going to explain later, the Gemara is going to explain later, this is going according to Reb Shimon, that even he says that that even he says you're not going to be chayiv in this case if you bring a bird or some other korban on Erev Pesach, even if you have chametz in your possession. Okay, so we'll continue tomorrow, Best Hashem, with analyzing this braisa. So we brought this braisa as a proof to the papa, where the papa had said the one who's burning the fat on the mizbeach also has to make sure that he or the other members of the group don't have chametz in their possession. Fine, we had a braisa that said that that also applies to him as well, even though he's not in the category of lo sishchat. But since the pasuk continues v'lo yolin laboker, that shouldn't be left overnight, and he has a mitzvah not to leave the fat overnight, so therefore he's also included in this. But now we'll learn tomorrow morning, Best Hashem, we'll analyze this braisa a little more and understand what this braisa is saying and who it goes according to.
What happens?
Yeah.
What happens if? Hello.
Yeah, go ahead.
What happens if the Korban Pesach itself has chametz in its stomach?
What happens if it has chametz itself in its stomach? Then the pashtos, I mean, what you know, you take out the chametz, you burn it, you dispose of it, or whatever. The korban's still kosher. I mean, you have even cases. You have in Shulchan Aruch various cases where you find a grain of wheat or something inside a chicken during Pesach. You have certain cases, fine. You have certain cases where the chicken is going to be osir, but you know, those are mostly based on various chumras. Meikar adin, maybe only the wheat and the grain of wheat and the area around it or whatever would be. And over here, you know, they if you find it inside the stomach, okay. I mean, you know, so I guess the stomach itself is not offered on the mizbeach. Okay, so I guess I'm not sure. Maybe you'd have to take that area of the stomach and burn it because it would have absorbed chametz. Maybe not. I don't know. But whatever, the rest of the korban would certainly be kosher. Okay. So to be continued tomorrow, Best Hashem.